Hi. Welcome to your other home. Good to see you. I hadn't seen you earlier. Nice to have you, man. This morning, I'm going to not go into the book of Acts. We're close to finishing it, and I want to prolong it as long as possible. Not really. Not really. I do want to have you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and start in a passage. Some wording has stood out to me, and I'd like to this morning address that with you and go in kind of a little bit of a devotional way and certainly in an appropriate way, I believe, having to do with what we call the communion and the Lord's table. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul, writing to the Corinthian people, saying, I received from the Lord. That means he had a number of revelations, God revealing truth to him that he was able to tell us. I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and then you know what follows. Most of you have heard it many, many times. If no other place, it's right here. So you've got no excuse to say, I'm not familiar with it. But that phrase that we just read, I've done a bit of thinking about, some questions I've asked, and I'd like to lead you along in those same questionings and see kind of where we arrive. That the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. First question is, why that wording? Why that designation in the night in which he was betrayed? Was it all about the betrayal? I'm not looking for answers. I just want you to kind of walk with me through these questions. Is it only about the betrayal? Was that foremost in Paul's mind about that night? Could he have said, in the same night in which he was arrested? Right? In the same night that Peter said, in fact, let's turn there, Luke chapter 22. Luke 22. Never trust your grandma. She'll probably live through it. Most do. Luke 22:14. And when the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. He said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup is, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of the one betraying me is with me on the table. Judas was there eating this. Judas was there listening to this. For indeed, the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to discuss among themselves which one of them it might be who is going to do this thing. Drop on down to verse 33. And Peter said to him, Lord, with you I am ready to go both to prison and to death. So Paul could have had the wording, it was the night that Peter said he would even die with Jesus. That night. But he chose the wording in the night in which he was betrayed. Drop down to verse 42. He could have written that night that Jesus was in the garden and said, Father, if thou art willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but thy will be done. Or he could have simply said that last night in which he went into the garden. Why the designation is what I'm questioning. In the night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. Okay? Now, I don't want to make too big a deal out of this. He could have said, from John 18, it was that night that Jesus claimed that highest name of God for himself, the great I Am. Blew over all of the adversaries. They were immediate. Could have been that night as a designation. Why this night? He calls it the night in which he was betrayed. He could have been a bit more general, saying, well, during the last Passover celebration that he spent with his disciples, these are all correct, right? These are all accurate. He could have been theological, as back here in Luke 22. Could have been theological and designate on that same night that God designed for his son to suffer desertion, brutal treatment, pure prejudice that led to his death that night. Down to verse 22. For indeed the Son of Man is going. That's death. As it has been determined. The only one that could determine that is God. Not Judas. Not the Romans and not the Jews. But woe to that man by whom he was betrayed. If others wrote the same line, they might have said in a simple form, oh, on the night of his passion. Right? And they wouldn't be incorrect with that. Why? In the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. I've got some ideas. They might be incorrect. They might fill up a little bit more into our heart and mind about Jesus. In the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. The word took bread. A meal during the Passover week was meant for family and close friends. Turn back to Exodus chapter 12, please. The very first occurrence of this event, after this occurrence, they were to celebrate it every year to remember what God did in taking the Jewish people out of Egypt. Most of us in the room are aware of that. Exodus 12 is where it takes place, the very first time. Verse 1, now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month shall be the beginning of months for you. It's like Passover starts out their year. This is starting at a high point, yet it seems to be that there's a low point here as well. This month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, they are each one to take a lamb or a kid for themselves according to their father's households, a lamb for each household. It's for family. Now, if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his neighbor nearest his house, nearest neighbor, to take one according to the number of persons in them, according to what each man should eat. You are to divide the lamb. Your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. It is to be sacrificed. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it, because that death represented by that blood is to be the substitution. Otherwise, the oldest, the firstborn in the home is going to die that night. So the substitution, close friends, a family. Verse 8, and they shall eat the flesh that same night, roasted with fire. They shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. More details follow this. And in the tradition since then, something else has been added to that meal, and something else has been added, something else has been added. But to go back to the bare bones basic, we just read it. My point here, though, took bread. It is a meal meant for family and close friends. It shows friendly hospitality to say he took the bread. And it is to show the actions of the leader of that family and friends. The leader is the one serving it. When it says he took the bread, that's what that implies. It says straight out. The head of the family served this. Betrayal by a member of a tight group of friends or family. Betrayal, and I know maybe even some in this room have gone through the experience of betrayal by a family or friends. But betrayal by a member of a tight group of friends or family shows the ultimate offense against a friend or family member. What more can you do? And this particular betrayal went even further, resulting in murder. In the night in which he was betrayed, he, the leader, in a friendly, hospitality, leadership way, took the bread with Judas right there at the table. His hand was with him on the table. Something big happened in there. Something big. Paul's wording in the night in which he was betrayed, I believe, and we can add to this, there's three different points that came out to me as I was just thinking this through. That line, in the night in which he was betrayed, is an all-inclusive reminder of what set things in motion that night, humanly speaking. All the other options that he could have used to delineate that particular night that happened that night, they all fall under that. This got that ball rolling, humanly speaking. Second, it serves as a reminder that Jesus, knowing what was coming, loved these men to the end, all of them. He gave them something to remember, knowing that he was going away. To never forget this event in history as the most important climactic event for every individual in all humanity. Nothing bigger than this, and what set it in motion was a betrayal. Yet he loved that betrayer even to the end. Gave them something to remember this by. Every time it is served, it is to remind them of all of these things. And the third point that I see from 1 Corinthians 11, that statement in the night in which he was betrayed kind of sets the stage for what God wanted Paul to state about their own relationships to their fellow believers and the family. Because the warning he gives afterward, if we're not judging the body rightly and treating one another rightly, and we eat this, it is eating it in such a way that is wrong. Straight out wrong. It's almost as if betrayal is what you want to run from. Stay away from. Their relationships don't go there in family. God knows your heart and my heart. I don't know your heart. But over the years, I think I've come to know your heart a little bit, and maybe you mine. But you know when things go sour and south between you and somebody there, whether it's the pastor or the leadership, whether it's somebody, you know, that used to sit next to you. You know what I'm saying? And I believe that that sets up the warning part of this passage here. That we stay far from that part of a relationship. where a relationship can go. Doing our best, Romans 12:18, to be at peace with all men. They won't necessarily cooperate with that, but as much as you can, you be at peace with all men. I think there's something happening here that is because Passover is for family or the closest neighbors. I will call them good friends. That group particularly ought to be of interest to us to continue nurturing, continue such a relationship with them in-house that it outflows from us into that world around us. But that very first night when the very first meal was ever served, the night in which he was betrayed, the leader, not just somebody else at the table, but the very leader that took the bread and served it to him. Weird about this, though. Back there in Luke 22, the very next thing after I stopped the reading at verse 23, the disciples got in an argument about who's the greatest among them. He must be talking about you. Couldn't be talking about me. You know? Human. They're human, and what I love about that is I can relate. It's always somebody else. Right? He's talking to all of them. And where any of us could potentially go. As we eat this meal together, it is proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. Weird stuff has developed over the last 2,000 years about what goes along with this meal that we commonly eat every month. Weirdness. One of the weird things out of Catholicism, I will name it, out of Catholicism, to eat this bread is to do what? Eat Jesus. Another little nibble off Jesus' flesh. That is not in your scripture. That is not accurate. It does represent his body that was broken for us. It does not mystically become it. And the body, or as we drink this grape juice, or wine if that's what people do, it doesn't become his blood. Okay? This is also not a time that I am now receiving Jesus yet one more time by eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Okay, we might ask the question, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Or have you received Jesus as your Savior? And we've morphed it into other things. Have you asked Jesus to come into your heart? Wording that is not in your Bible, we kind of know what it means though, right? Well, yes, just last Sunday I received him as I ate the bread and drank the cup. No, you didn't. You have an opportunity as you do this to remember that you have received him as your Lord, as your Savior. Because he did die on that cross to pay for your sins. And it is not all about the betrayal. The betrayal just set things in motion. And that betrayal of all betrayals, what ultimate love was there at the very same time, and he knew what was happening because he said, the hand of the one that betrayed me is on the table with me. What love that he continued on and didn't say, Judas, out! Did tell him a little bit later, what you doing? What? Do quickly. What did the disciples, the other 11, figure out? He needs to go buy more stuff for the upcoming Passover meal. See, we can get into an argument which meal this was. There was a series of Passover meals in this week of Passover time. They had no idea, but it kicked them into that conversation of goofiness. Which one's the greatest? It's not about their greatness. It's not about a ritual that is a religious thing. It is about a relationship with the living God that we've sung all about this morning and could have inserted 1,000 other songs that say the same kinds of things. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed, he saved me. and not because I'm prettier than you. More upstanding citizen. Whatever. Goofiness. Compare yourselves to one another, everybody comes short. Look at Jesus and you're real short. And then there's his mercy that's all over us. I can come raw before the Lord and he knows it all. Fresh and new, I can come and say, thank you for your mercy to me. Comments, questions? I would like those men that I asked to come up, please. Let's go ahead and serve this. Now, I hope it's obvious to all of us here that this is not Jesus taking the bread this morning. This is us doing what he told us to do to remember him as we take this bread. He gave his body for us in our place, the substitution. He died on that cross shedding that blood in our place as a substitution. It starts there. This is not a religious ritual, at least not intended by God to be. And I hope that you will approach it fresh this morning with a fresh thought toward the Lord, fresh heart toward the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you did for me. Ultimately, then, for us, we do it together. Now the warning. You got issues with people in the same body? I would say pass it. Don't take it this morning. That's God's warning. And then get things right as best you can. And we move forward together. Let's go ahead and serve this and we'll pray when you guys come back. We do not have a gluten-free piece this morning with Gloria gone from us. In fact, that reminds me, let me just share this with you and we can make that a matter of a prayer as well. Gloria and Ralph. Ralph has got a cardiologist appointment coming up, I think this Thursday or so. Find out what's going on with his heart. They have not discovered anything yet. They are planning on driving back down here starting Father's Day. So they're part of our body too, part of our family. So remember them this morning.